With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
company. We do.
Enough to work together three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No,
that's
correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because,
thank
of
you.
Course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that we're going into, what season are we in of this show?
Oh, we'll be going into season 10.
Really?
Something like that. I came in June 8 years ago. So 8.5 years ago.
Into season 10. Got to be
Going
into season 9.
Yeah, because the way we number these is... this is episode 952. We always start with the season and then the episode number. So,
okay,
yeah. So it's
so coming around.
It's gonna be 10 something. Yeah.
I don't. All right. Well, whatever it works. But God bless you. We've been doing this for long enough. Some would say. No, thanks for the support. And look, we love hell. I took Matt over to Seth MacFarlane's house for his Christmas
that was
party.
Fantastic.
He was getting recognized by the guests at Seth MacFarlane's
by
house.
By the only three car people in Hollywood.
But he literally was getting stopped. He got stopped.
Nice.
Yeah.
And wow. All of those people, by the way, very nice, reached out on social media, and they're like, thank you so much. We had a great chat. Love you guys.
Yeah, so it's nice, and we love that you guys support, and you know, we ask that you just share it with someone who's into cars or just into life, because we like to philosophize a little bit here. All right, so we got a couple of guests. We'll bring them in a couple of few. Todd Deacon and Paul Schmuck are coming in. They're from a TV show and a podcast. Everyday Driver, Season 2, is going to hit Velocity. January 6th, and I look forward to that because I love all things cars. One of my favorite things is I just sit around and watch car shows.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
Speaking of that, I just watched the first episode of the Grand Tour.
I did too.
And I assumed you did, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it as well. Just kind of check in, see what you think of the first episode.
Well, a couple things. Well, the show looks amazing.
Yeah.
And the chemistry's great with the boys. And it is the benchmark for all car shows. It's the Rolls Royce of car shows. And look, I'm not. Sorry, I just dropped a bottle opener. You have to have that kind of budget. You can't fake that kind of show. I mean, you just either have the budget for it or you don't. You can't do what they do on Jay Leno's garage budget, you know. But I like
they have
Jay Leno's
unlimited
garage.
Unlimited access
it's just
to anything in the world.
Unlimited everything. There's a couple things. They crashed the electric car at the end.
Yes.
And they never explained why they crashed the electric car at the end. And they – one of the biggest –
we knew they crashed it going into this because it was all in the news before this aired.
Right. You know, social media and whatnot. Mm-hmm. What I couldn't figure out, and it's something I am kind of bothered by, and I don't know, maybe Max Zapata can figure it out on the internet. The worst thing you can ever do in broadcasting, TV or radio, is be confusing. And they had the in-car footage, and they showed Richard Hammond. It was a hill climb. It was, yeah, it was a mile 0.9 or something, or 0.09 or something. Anyway, it was a mile-long hill climb through beautiful Bavarian hillside or whatever, yeah, it was. It looked amazing.
Yeah,
it looked like a great event. It looked,
yeah,
like a fun event.
I didn't even know about that event.
I didn't either. We should put it on our bucket list. And it was great. And they showed him a lot of intrigue. Sorry, I'm actually getting a cold. See if he was going to break the hill climb record. And the car had like 1,200 horsepower, even though it was electric and blah, blah, blah. And then they showed him go across the finish line.
Yeah.
And then when he went across the finish line, which was very clearly marked with a big banner that said finish, he then proceeded to accelerate and hit a right and be carrying way too much speed. So
yeah, that's whoever, what it really looked like.
Whoever worked out the race said, we'll put the finish line at the middle or three-quarter mark of a long uphill straightaway. And then, you know, it's the same thing I did at Goodwood. It's like you go blasting past the finish line, and then once you go past the finish line, you shut it down, because if you stay on it, you're just going to go off the end of the...
Yeah, you're going to run out of
you run road. Out of track. Yeah. It's the finish. Yeah.
I get your hammer down through the finish line.
Through the finish line.
Yeah.
But the second, I mean, whether, yeah, you're driving a car or running a 100-yard dash, like the second you cross the line, you don't need to sprint for another 15 yards. Like, it's weird, you
right.
know?
Even, right. There's cocktails at the
end. Usain Bolt, like, starts slowing down, like, the last couple of yards, you know? So, in this footage, he goes across the finish line, and he stays on it.
Or there's a YouTube video of the crash, Chris.
He gets off it. It looks like he goes past the finish line, lifts a little bit, and then goes right back on it. And when he goes on it, now it's like, A, you don't really know this part of the track that well. And then B, this isn't really part of the track. This is the kind of coast. Like, everyone's slowing down here.
Yeah, and it starts to turn up on the top.
It starts to turn, and so you're hitting it with velocity. Now, you then carry way too much speed into the first right hand, which is a little bit of a kink, and then you overcorrect into the left, and then you just burst right through the guardrail and off the track. Now, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, okay, so when we get back to studio, we're going to find out, was there something wrong with the car? Why did the car... It's an electric car. It's an experimental all-electric car.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for the news where he goes, I lifted and the car just kept going.
Yeah. Yeah, because what the YouTube video and the news, the press release and stuff or whatever, the news that came out about this came out a couple of months before the debut of this episode. So we knew he was okay. So now we're just shit in the car. Like, we already heard that he's okay. The show's going forward. They're filming more episodes.
And
it's
like those
good
guys, and I'm glad. What I wanted is when we got back to the studio, one guy was supposed to say to the other guy, why did you keep accelerating when you went
happened?
Past the thing? What happened? And then he would say, A, I just freaked out and just froze.
I didn't see the end.
Or B, the car just kept going. It's an electric car. It's experimental. I lifted, and it just took off.
Right.
But instead, they just went, you're okay? Yeah, you're all right. All
but
right.
They didn't even ask him if he was okay. They started moving on.
They just moved on. And if you watch the footage, well, I'll show it mainly just to Max Zapata. He's going up the hill. He's looking a little bit concerned. Going, it goes right past the finish line. And then it continues to what looks like accelerate. Once you cross the finish line, why not lift and start to apply the brake a little bit?
I don't know. I'm just guessing he got distracted. Something happened.
No,
he got distracted for a second.
I don't think so. I think he went past the finish line. It couldn't have been more clearly marked. And they did a bunch of practices.
Yeah.
You know... Listen, from a guy, a cagey veteran of one hill climb.
Yeah.
With a
well, you did drive it like three times.
With a veteran like myself of one hill climb.
Yeah.
A journeyman hill climber like me with a
Adam Hill Climb Corolla.
with a record of one hill climb under my belt.
Yeah, what's your professional
not
take?
Not a lot of confusion when you go past that finish line. Like, not much confusion. Big old banner, one lane highway. And in practice, you know exactly, like, the first time up, you may not know where it is, but the third time up, like, that's the finish. And then...
Do you think he was going to do, like, a bit? Like, oh, I'm just going to keep going, and it'll be like, Hammond's getting away.
Here's my thought. When I was watching it, here was my thought.
Yeah.
My thought was, it's an experimental all-electric supercar. They don't necessarily react the same as conventional combustion engines, brakes, and the kind of stuff that we're used to. Downshift, start putting the brake in. You know, like, it's not a regular car. It's got a kind of weird golf cart thing or something going to it. Only thing I could think of is they destroyed a million-dollar car, burnt to the ground.
Yeah.
And that there was some explanation. Look, drivers never get out of a car and go, that was 1,000% my fault. They get out of the car and they go, I lifted and it didn't slow down. Right. Or I put the brake on and the brake never came in. Or, like, you don't go, I'm really bad at driving.
Right.
I'm not responsible, and that was totally stupid.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy's experience driving a car.
Yeah.
Why, on an unknown hill climb, would you continue accelerating as you pass the start-finish line? And the only thing I could, as I was watching, and the reason they made no mention of it and didn't discuss it and didn't, like, go, what the hell were you doing? Like, you got to back off, you know? Like, what were you thinking? Of course you're going to go off the road if you just keep accelerating into the next turn. Here's my only thought. They ruined this million-dollar car or $1.2 million car, whatever it is.
Yes.
Obviously, bringing it home burnt like a briquette on a flatbed is not what the guys who built the million-dollar cars wanted. I think there was some sort of discrepancy about, did the car shut off when you lifted off, or did it keep going, or did the brakes malfunction, or did the accelerator malfunction, or whatever it is. And the guys who gave them the car... When if you go on your show and say something was defective and the throttle stuck or whatever, we'll sue your ass for the price of this car. Like, you can't prove it.
Yeah.
We want your thing. So here's the thing. We'll take our burnt to crisp car back. We'll chalk it up to experience. The production won't have to owe us $1.2 million. But in return, you cannot go on your show.
Yeah,
we're trying to launch a car. You can't go up there and go, I crossed the finish, I lifted, the car slowed down, then it just started accelerating on its own.
Because they didn't even touch on it. What happened? And he was like, I don't know. Like, they completely blew over the whole thing.
I think it even might have been a weird editing trick, because you see the background, like the scenery behind him, and it just starts blurring a little bit more right after. So,
well, they're obviously known for their crazy effects, and I'm sure they added the sound and the whatever and all that stuff to it, but I noticed that, if I recall this correctly, earlier in the show he was driving the car and he said, I've got it set up in this mode now that when I let off the gas, it regenerates with the brakes extra. And I think when you're in a track mode or something, when you let off the gas at the very end of the finish line, there's probably zero engine braking and he's flying like a bat out of hell, and then he's like, oh my God, for a split second or so, I need to really get on the brake.
It's a good theory. He was used to driving it around the streets with the regenerating brakes, which slow your car as soon as you let off.
And he said,
if
he specifically turned
mode
that on.
And you take that off, then you're not going to have the braking. And maybe that's it, but it still felt like he was accelerating.
Yeah, and again, Chris, the sound sounded like he was accelerating.
Yeah.
And in the video, because it's very short and that's just a YouTube clip, it could have just been he was doing 100-something and no engine braking at all. Just nothing. And he just kept going at full blast.
I think there might have been some stuff done in post to make it, I don't know, maybe a little more dramatic. I mean, as an editor of a guy who did a hill climb once.
I've
done some stuff.
All right, I got you.
Well, the car went blasting off the side of the... Let's watch it one more time. The car went blasting off the side, and they never really mentioned why. So anyway, always great. Glad the guys are back on. Show looks amazing. And it's the industry standard. But yes, it would seem very weird to me that there was no what happened discussion.
Yeah.
Because you want to know what happened.
Yeah. And then I want to ask you, what do you think of the new version of whatever, big car and a little star, big star and a little car, or whatever.
Okay.
The half-paved road.
He's going up the hill. He's pulling. Not going that insanely fast, just because a big finish line goes across. There's a stripe of stuff. It's really kind of hard to tell, but
it
whatever
is hard
it
to tell.
Is,
it looks like there was no lifting at all. But
you're going up a hill. They said the time to beat was like 54 seconds, and it was like a mile long, so mile a minute. And these guys were doing like what he did it in like 114.
Yeah.
So that ain't. It's not going 100 miles an hour like past there. Like probably not. I don't know how fast, but if you lift and start braking, we should be fine.
Well, everybody else lifted, and everybody else did the hill climb is fine, so I don't really know.
I don't know. Maybe there's some scuttlebutt on the internet. I don't know. Maybe you can find out.
Yeah. Or just wait 6 more months and see what sort of lawsuit comes out of it.
It's interesting.
After the season, like, errors and
yeah. But anyway, good show, and... enjoyed it. And as far as the star and the reasonably priced car, they're now having the race in the Jag.
First of all, I love the Jag, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Love and those guys.
It struck me, it was kind of interesting, half the road was on a gravel road.
Which is intentional, because we just said they have unlimited budget. You're saying you can't get out there with some asphalt?
I think, as I was watching it, I thought, oh, it's kind of interesting. What it's doing ultimately is keeping the speed down. So you can get in a Ford Escort with 91 horsepower and go balls to the wall with a top speed of 62 miles an hour. But if you get in a V8 Jag and you put them on asphalt and it's dry, this guy's going to be hauling ass.
Yeah.
And somebody could get hurt. So if you take the star and put them in the V8 with the horsepower, but you make the middle part and sort of half the track on rocks, on gravel, it takes your speed and just brings it way down. So there's like the first part. So you're,
but also gives them a little bit of dramatic drift.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
I
think it serves two masters. I think you start from a standstill and you can only get going so fast before you hit the gravel. Like they're going 35 or 40 miles an hour, whatever it is, when I hit the gravel. Then when you hit the gravel, you have to kind of feather it around, because obviously you can't just plow your foot in it and just come around. And then when you come off the gravel, it's like a tight turn immediately. So you're like way down, and then you have to accelerate, and then it's over. So what it does is it takes the average speed and just keeps it under 60, which is great because you don't want to get the celebrities killed.
I don't remember if that was the all-wheel drive F-Type or not.
I'm going to go with no, but just based on what I was seeing. But it struck me, they're doing a new thing where it's like Brit versus United States, you know, game show host, the crooner, whatever it is.
Well, they're trying to get two people from the same profession. Both were, that first episode was both were competition judges or whatever. And they're going to get like two, I don't know, boxers or Olympic swimmers or whatever.
Right. Which is all good. Except for if you're David Hasselhoff and you're from the United States, you don't drive a right-hand drive car.
Right.
And that's kind of a disadvantage. Yeah. Like if someone just throws you in a car and goes, we're going to time you on this course. Now, if it's clutch and shifting and everything, it's a disaster.
Yeah, that's not.
If it's just steering and you get a couple practice laps, it's better. But it's a marked advantage for the person who's used to driving.
So you think to make it an apples to apples comparison, there should be two F types, a left hand and a right hand drive, and then you pick.
If you are in fact doing this thing, and you are going to get celebrities from the United States, and you're going to put them on a racetrack and tell them to take a pretty sophisticated high horsepower car around that racetrack, and you just put them in right hand drive, and they're going against a guy in England who grew up driving right hand drive and drove a right hand drive car to the track. I'd say that's a bit of an advantage. Like, right. I don't know. I don't know if it's 10 seconds, but it's a little something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
We went to Goodwood and we drove the van around, but still driving the van right-hand drive is still a little awkward. It's a little awkward. It's a little uncomfortable. It's going to be a disadvantage to Hoff.
Thank you for very slowly agreeing with what I said. It took a long time, but eventually he agreed. So I was watching
both
this.
Those guys suck.
I was watching this.
Hoff can't drive.
And I was going.
Right hand or left hand, he can't drive.
I was watching the thing just kind of going, well, this is fun, but it's not apples to apples because the Hoff is driving a right hand drive car.
Yeah.
That is, look, in a competition where the winner's going to do it in a minute 21 and the loser's going to do it in a minute 24, I'd say you could shave 3 seconds off most anyone's time if you put them in the wrong side drive car, right?
So the Hoff needs a second chance.
The Hoff needs a second chance, man. All right, slowly get our guests ready, and I'll tell you guys about Simply Safe. You want to get a good night's sleep? There you go. How about you get Simply Safe? You do what I did. Do what Dawson did. You do what Mike August did. You did what, forget about those guys. Mark Gergis did it. He's a genius, man. Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. He's a rich, evil genius. Simply Safe. Complete security arsenal with motion sensors, glass break sensors, high definition security camera. Everything you need to keep your family safe. You order it online. Takes just a couple of minutes. In a few days, it'll be on your doorstep. Just open the box, plug it in. You'll have it up and running. 24/7 protection, no hard wiring, no hidden fees, no long-term contracts. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam3. That's spell the word 3. Go to simplysafe, two I's in there, simplysafe.com/Adam3. So we know you heard it here. You guys are great. So support our sponsors. These guys are great. And get the 10% off and get going. It's 2018, people. Come on now. Todd and Paul.
Hello, sir.
How are you? See you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good to see you guys.
The show, Everyday Driver, Season 2, premieres Saturday, January 6th on Velocity. Mm-hmm. Also, the podcast, Everyday Driver. New episodes every Tuesday and Friday on Podcast 1. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you. We're excited.
All right, so let's talk. I don't know why somebody asked me yesterday and said, what is your dream car? And I don't want to cop out with like a Ferrari GTO. It's $50 million. You know, I said BMW M1 Pro car.
Yeah.
I love that car.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Not bad. But let's say, all right, Todd, wait a minute.
Yes,
which
sir.
One's Todd? Yeah, Todd. And Paul. Sorry.
If you're Todd, raise your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be
Paul
Todd.
Paul Deacon and Paul Schmucker. Sorry. Yeah, I appreciate you guys sitting in the right order.
We try.
It's all good. Too many podcasts to do. Todd, what do you like?
Well, actually, I just bought this summer. I bought an 06 Lotus Elise, which is a car I've wanted to own forever.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled to actually own that car. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, you're a lot of guy for that car.
That's what's hysterical. Actually, cars and coffee are really interesting for me now because I climb out of the car. It's like a praying mantis trick, me getting out of the car. And people will stop and go, how did you do that?
Yeah.
So it is... At some point, if I have back trouble, the car has to go because it's the getting in and out that's really difficult. And then once you're in, I don't know if you've been in one, but once you're in, there's actually great. But the in and out, it's a process.
It's very possible that's the car that's going to cause the back trouble.
It may be. It may,
so it might then be self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, you're going to be limited on
a really neat little go-kart kind of car that I guess people are doing a lot of upgrades to, slapping on superchargers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you can... build sure. that thing to be
why,
full
why
go-kart.
Why the Elise over like an Evora or supercharged Evora?
Budget.
Okay, there you go.
That's the truth.
Evora. Right.
Actually, the 400's great. The original Evora yeah. is good. The 400 yeah. is a nice improvement. I'd love to own one. They just haven't come down enough yet.
Yeah. I feel like the Evora kind of suffered the same problems that the NSX did early on and maybe even now where people went like, how much? No, mm-hmm. I'll get a 911 then
Absolutely.
If it's going to be that much.
No,
like, I like the idea of it, mm-hmm. but not with a Toyota engine. I'll get the 911 for that.
Another
kind of money.
Car that just reeked of that was the Shelby Series 1. Remember when that came out?
Sure.
It had like a cool design and a carbon fiber body, mm-hmm. but it had like this, I don't know, like this Aurora engine, like this mm-hmm. Buick or something engine in it. And then they came out with an upgrade, and like it's got a supercharger and the big brakes, and it's all in one package. It only cost $27,000 extra on top of the $130 you've already paid. And like
bargain.
And that package makes it stop better and go faster and all the things it was supposed to do in the first place.
Originally, yeah.
Yeah. And so that car now is a car that shows up at like a Barrett Jackson or a Meekum, and there's not a lot of them. And it's another one of these cars. We've had this discussion before about how cars become collectible now because they were huge failures before.
And
so there were few of them.
Look
there you
what
go.
Tuckers are going for.
Yeah,
and even things like weirdo cars like Vectors and stuff are now all going.
And the Tucker's on my list of like most desirable cars because it just, you know, the movie was cool when it came out and I was a kid and I watched it and I was like, I love this guy. He's making his own car.
And it's an oddball car. Yeah. Too,
people love it, but it's like 19 feet long. Like, I don't know if you could tool around in that thing. Hey, so Paul, what do you got? You don't have to own it. It could be a dream car.
No, it's funny because, you know, we're both in a position where we kind of own the cars we want. And we actually got recently asked a question about what was the car that changed your driving style or influenced your driving? And for us, at least for me, it was a mid-engine car. So I've got a Porsche Cayman GTS mm-hmm. from 2015,
mm-hmm. yep.
which I love. But I'll go higher. I love the 918 Spyder. I admit to swimming around in the pool of Porsche. I admit to being that guy. So
you're one of those.
I am, for sure. I'm definitely there. But you know, something hot, even
mid-engine.
Though it's been superseded by other 911s on the ring and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But
where does
something mid-engine?
Where's the 718 land? Am I making that up?
No,
that's
one
the new.
Up the
that's the that's new. Cayman.
Cayman Boxster is designated as that.
Is that a good? Well, it's got to be a good car.
It's a good car. The debate is, of course, the engine note because we're back at turboed four-cylinder engines.
That's the big difference.
So that's the huge debate now.
Oh, is that a turbo four?
It is.
They went from the sixes.
But
yeah.
they have this inner lineage.
Four.
They have it as part of their history. So I get it. They're not wrong.
914.
Exactly. And the original 718. So, I mean, we're not wrong there.
I mean,
but
what you've
Oh,
what
the
you've
original
gained.
718. Yeah. What year is original 7?
Oh, gosh. 60s.
Late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I get it.
I think they also needed some more technical separation between the 911s and the 918. And the
that's, I'm sure, was part of the discussion.
It's because people kept saying the Cayman is better, and they specifically hold down horsepower so it doesn't beat the 911. And so now they're saying, you know what? Now it's four-cylinder and six-cylinder. So,
True.
Stop
more delineation between
it.
Things.
And the great thing about it is you've gained a lot
of
more torque earlier. You know, that was a thing that a lot of people, you don't want to rev it out to the top to find the torque. But come on, it's that great flat six. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
So that, but you did gain a lot more kind of usable, normal traffic driving torque. But then you lost that flat six classic Porsche sound. And I'm not even the Porsche guy, the two of us. But that's the big debate.
That's funny because everybody asks us that all the time, and then we think, okay, what's the budget? What are we talking? But just one car? That's so hard.
It is.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, like, what's your favorite car? And I'm like, give me three budget ranges.
You have to give parameters. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Give me three budget ranges, and I'll start coming up with some numbers.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to go under 50 grand or under 30 grand, under 50 grand, under 100 grand, and then you get to unlimited.
And the madness,
The podcast is 3 hours long instead of 1 hour.
You know, I was trying. So here's a funny thing. So, Chris Maxipata, good luck in your internet search for this.
He just looks bad.
And Todd and Paul, you may be of some help. I'm not sure Matt will be on this one.
I'm out.
Uh-oh. I was out. Well, no one's saying you can't try to make the team, but prepare to be cut.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. This will be like high school again.
All right.
Okay. I'm walking my dog. Somebody said they're doing some internet thing or something. Favorite car. And I just went BMW M1 Pro Car because I just love those cars. I love the way they look. Cool. I love their livery. Cool. I love their stance. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just they're great. Yeah. Mid-engine, naturally aspirated, just winding them up, you know. And then I got home and I was looking at a email. This will probably help. You can talk to Matt Fondelier about this. I got an email from like Classic Car Magazine, or it wasn't an auction. It was like Classic whatever, you know, whatever I get. They just send me junk, all the stuff, right? And I skimmed down and I saw a car that is my all-time favorite that we never discuss almost ever. And I don't know if we ever discussed it. It was a car that was, it's a mid, later 60s. I saw it at Pebble Beach one year when they had the thing out on, they moved it out on the tarmac, when they moved the Italiano Concourse out to the tarmac, and everyone got pissed off instead of moving it to a golf. It was on a golf course. One year they had it out on a tarmac, and everyone hated it because it was like hot and flat and everything.
Cheese and wine gets hot, warmer. Your cheese melts.
There's a car that it was built like 64, 65. It's like Bizzarini something, mid-engine, kind of has a platform like a Ferrari 250 LM, but it's Targa-y, and it has glass in the back. And I can't think of the name. It's super rare. I think it's a V12 or V8. There's like a Bizzarini. I think it's Bizzarini or Bizzarini. Sorry, everyone. It's pissed off.
Say it from the heart, right? Bizzarini.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're still
You make it sound delicious.
Scrolling through images.
Was your version is covered in mozzarella.
No, it's not Alpha.
It wasn't?
I
know what you're talking about.
It's like a Bizzarini, but it looks like the ones we're looking at, but it's not.
Because the Bizzarini whole concept was Italian style, American power, you know, that kind of thinking.
Yes, which I always like. With the caveat, and here's the caveat, you just got to go find my email. That's it. Like, you scroll down. It's blue, by the way, Chris. Sorry.
Because you think it's in an email. I might have gotten
it. You may have gotten it, too. All right. The Bizzarini is great when they go with the 327 Corvette motor, but only if they have the cross-flow Weber induction and not the four-barrel, because I need a little European flavor engine. And the reason the 5300 Strada or whatever, where that car works is because the Corvette had cast valve covers with like fins on it, not stamped, crappy stamped sheet metal ones.
Right.
And then they went with the four side draft or cross flow Webers on there, and it gave the engine, even though it was an American engine, like a real European flair to it. And that's what worked. If that thing is just small block Chevy with stamped valve covers and a four barrel Holley,
nobody has to know.
You got to pop the hood. All right, Chris, have fun looking.
I'm not
for this.
Finding it in my email.
What is this?
It's not
damn
the Strada, is it?
No, I just said the Strada.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. It's a. Just ask Matt Fondelier to find it. Then I'm going to go nuts. Huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it'll be from like Classic Car or whatever Vintage Motorsport, you know, magazine or whatever.
It'll be one of the emails that you don't care about.
It'll be one of the emails you don't masturbate to.
Right.
one of the few you throw in the hopper. And if you click on it and you scoot down, it's like the first image or second image on there. And I got to find out the name of this car because it's driving me nuts now. Yeah. And you don't know it.
I don't know it. I saw the email. I thought Classic Motorsport Magazine, but I could be wrong.
If you look through like a Lamborghini book and they're talking about Bizzarini and engine building and the stuff he was doing, and then he went, I don't know, from Ferrari to Lamborghini or something, they'll show this car in there somewhere. It's kind of like another really cool version of it is the first Lamborghini 350 had like closed headlights and like a cooler sort of auto show version, and that's a really slick Euro looking car.
Nice.
All right. We got the mid engine, we got the front engine. Wait, the Lotus is
Both went for kind of a small, lightweight.
I like little stuff. I like stuff that doesn't
small, matter. Lightweight,
in spite of
rear
being
mid.
A huge guy, I like stuff that's little.
No,
that's
I got so no. We had this discussion: the big guys in the little cars. Like, what's Pendulette rolling in these days? Like a Leaf or a Mini Cooper or something?
Seriously, seriously. He had a Mini Cooper, non-S, just a Mini Cooper.
And he just, so I don't know, did he just Magnum PI his head right off the top, or what?
The buying process behind that car? What was the decision tree here?
He told me two things. One is, I owned that car in the S version, so as I explained to everyone at the Man Show, not gay, it's the S version. They didn't explain those idiots what a supercharger was. Yeah. But inside the car, ton of room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
Ton of room inside that car. So Pendulette would fit just fine. Later, he went full plug-in, and I think he just went Leaf.
Leaf.
That's what he went
Leaf.
With.
That's embarrassing.
I agree with you.
I mean, there's other cars you can choose. You know, we could
go
other places.
Well, there's not like a Leaf S. You know?
True, yes. Well, but they did. But the new Leaf, though, they just showed the Nismo version.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out why that matters, because it's not actually a performance upgrade. Apparently, it's going to be a Japanese market car. And the Nismo brand is one of those brands you buy just to show off you have the Nismo version. But the Leaf is essentially just paint.
It's like the Eddie Bauer edition.
Exactly. It's like the Eddie Bauer version of the Leaf, but it's now the Nismo, supposedly performance upgraded Leaf. But by the way, it's just badging.
It's just badging. It's going to have the red stripe.
What do you guys know about plug-in electric? What's coming? What a guy like me who would like to get an electric car, but wants to drive something pretty, you know, decent. I mean, they brought the first generation Volt over here. They brought the first generation Leaf over here. I talked to BMW about the i8 with the 16-mile range on the plug-in. Like, I just want something that's like pretty decent, but I can get to work and back 4 or 5 times before I have to plug it in again.
Have you driven the Bolt yet? The Chevy Bolt?
No, I've not driven the Chevy Bolt.
I mean, look, it's not – we actually just got one as a press car we have for the next few days. But it's not attractive. It's not a car – this is the problem with the Bolt versus the 3.
I'm listening.
The 3 is this sexy-looking car where you're like, did you notice there's – we saw one yesterday.
It's the iPhone.
Like, oh, look, there's the 3.
You just want it.
But the Bolt looks like a variation on the Honda Fit.
No,
it looks usable.
Right.
But here's the thing. It just works. You want a car with a lot of mileage.
Yeah, here we go. We've got it on screen.
Look at it.
It has – I mean – That's a perfectly fine, average-looking car.
I feel like
it's
you get a pass with an electric. Yeah, but here's the thing. Having an electric car is like having a special needs kid. Like, is there anyone really going to make fun of him? He's wearing a helmet. You're carrying him around. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to come in and go, this car looks like shit, man. It's like, it's an electric car. Come on.
What do you want from me? Everybody says it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's limited on its interior, like it doesn't have all the fancy stuff and all the nice materials, is because they need to put that money into that drivetrain.
Well, yes,
and still make it affordable.
What's the range?
About 200 miles, 200 to 230, depending upon how you drive it.
And can you plug it into 110 and get it overnight?
No, you've got to get the heavy duty.
You got to get the heavy duty. And with the heavy duty, how long does it take to charge?
It's like an overnight. It's like a 10 or so.
It's a while. But I got on an Uber in Orange County. Flew into Orange County, grabbed an Uber, and the guy picked me up in a Bolt, and he said he gets 320 miles driving around all day long.
Wow.
Plugs it in overnight. Now, you've got regenerative braking with a paddle on the steering wheel.
Sounds like
the
Richard
you never
Hammond.
Have to touch the brakes, really.
Yeah.
Nice.
maybe you should have raced a Bolt up the hill climb.
Hold on, Max Pata, what is going on with this email that was sent to me 3 days ago, and it's just a car
emails.
Thing? It's not 2 weeks old. It's just like it's 4 days old or 3 days old, and it's just read all the car-related anything.
I'm clicking every single email that you have. You get a lot of emails.
No, but these will be titled just vintage car.
Ace, I'm looking at the magazine ones only.
All right, I'll just take my
phone. 3 days back.
All right, I don't get that many that say, like, vintage car. Don't click Mecum Auto Auctions. All right, that's a vintage, just like a vintage car magazine. What I'm saying, Matt, is I do have a lot of emails, but I don't have 50 that are vintage car magazines or vintage events. There's a couple like Mecum
and stuff. Not arguing with you.
All right.
I'm reporting right, well, what I'm
going to get my phone.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico while you go dig that up. Geico, look, everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you're dropping off the dry cleaning, you're picking up some milk, and now you can add saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, you got to get some car parts, some gas, whatever.
I found
this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
It's super confusing.
You got it?
Yeah, it's labeled. It's from Casey Annis, Vintage Racer, Vintage Road Car News is what it is. And now I'm looking, and it took a while. I'm looking at the car, and I got to figure out how to.
You keep clicking. I see you tapping. Nothing happened.
Nothing happens. All right. Now, can you see?
Can you zoom in?
I'll click here.
What is it?
Oh, and I just clicked there.
Oh, there you go.
Now you'll see the car. Now, Max Pratt, you got to get my phone and like plug it into the thing.
Yeah, I'll put it up.
All right, it'll reboot. You put it up, and we'll. Oh. I don't know what happened now. All right. This computer. We need net neutrality.
We do. All right. That's the problem.
Do you see this car?
I do. Yes.
Oh, here we go. Interesting.
Right?
That's a deep cut, man.
That is.
Hold on. That's the kind of thing I have to say twice. That's a deep cut, man. That is a
I'll
deep
pick it up
ass
what you're throwing
cut.
Down.
You know, I haven't seen this. I feel That's like I've seen though. Most cars
it's
at Pebble Beach,
gorgeous,
but I have not
isn't
seen
it?
This car.
Yeah.
Wow.
It kind of reminds me of that Alpina that we're not getting, that they're just now releasing.
Oh, yes.
All right, give that Max Pat, oof, get that thing, pretty. Put it up, and find that car.
Somebody, I'm going to find it.
Somebody,
I'm going to find it.
It doesn't have a name. It's right. It's vintage Casey Annis and vintage.
VintageRaceCar.com was the photo.
All right.
See that.
So now we need
I
to
have
find
a,
it.
ATS 2500 GTS Coupe by Alamano. Does that sound right?
Show you got to show us the
show
picture,
the
and then we'll tell you what it is.
Yeah,
but it is
here.
A beautiful 60s Italian
there you
car.
Go. That's it. That's the,
now
that's the
we're looking at it.
Yeah. Now, what is it?
I think it has a Bizzarini V8 mid-engine, like all like downdraft, like yeah. aluminum block.
Really?
Like it's a crazy cool.
We
God,
need the research,
I think
Chris.
I think they've made... You know, 20 of them
I was
or
say,
something.
Yeah,
like
that's probably
really,
a lot
it's
for
a,
that car.
It's gorgeous. Isn't it a
yeah.
great shape,
it's
though?
Beautiful. Gorgeous.
We'll put it up at carcastshow.com. And so tell us what the car is again or what you know about it, Chris, please.
Well, what I did was I'm just finding out the file name, and it says 1964 ATS 2500 GTS Coupe by Alamano.
Well, look up a little something on that car, and we'll figure out who powered it and all that kind of stuff. But it's a really cool piece. I guess it's probably what I love. It's a 2500 V8, you know. It's like
and I haven't
super
heard of
small.
Alamano. Is that?
I don't know.
No,
I feel
I
like
actually.
Bizzarini's going to get involved with this conversation or Lamborghini yeah. or something. So this was 64, and this was some sort of thing before somebody went to Lamborghini in 65 and basically made the first
yeah, made
Lamborghini.
50.
Thank you.
But this thing is yeah. so cool because it's mid-engine and it's very sleek and it's very 60s and
yeah.
it's very
yeah.
European and it's just a great look.
I knew exactly what you were talking about the whole time.
So sure. no one here has seen that car before.
No,
huh?
No.
It's they're very rare.
Yeah, for
Paul,
sure.
52. Matt, here's your time to assert your will and go, oh, that thing, yeah.
yeah.
I know those well.
yeah. oh, yeah, totally know that.
Paul,
yeah.
52, Ohio.
Yes.
What's going on?
I sent you guys pictures about my accident on turning left on a red.
So I advocate that everyone drives through left turn arrows to turn
yeah.
left on a red.
Guy in a tractor cool. did it today in front of me on the way here.
You're driving a Cadillac that looks pretty well smashed up in the front end.
Yeah, it was a 2011 DeVille.
What?
I love that car.
What happened? Paul.
Okay, so I turn left on a red, and okay. I'm turning left onto a four-lane road, and this guy comes up behind me, comes right up behind me, darts off into the right-hand lane, comes back over, cuts me off, slams on his brakes, comes to a complete stop, and I slam into him going about 35 miles an hour.
Wait a minute, so he was coming from where? As you were turning left, where was he?
He's coming from behind. He goes to the right lane, goes around, and comes in front and stops?
Yep. literally cut me off, comes to a complete stop, and I slam into him.
And then when you get out,
I have no idea where he came from.
Okay, what do you say when? What does he say when you guys get out of the car?
Well, when I got out, well, first of all, I veered off into the right hand lane to get out of traffic. You know, if it steers, it clears. You know,
yeah, thank you. Hero.
Okay, well, he followed suit and came, you know, pulled up in front of me, and I got out of my car, and I'm just livid. I went up to him, and I'm just berating him and asking him what the fuck his problem was. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "Why did you hit me?" I said, "Are you kidding me?" He goes, "Yeah, I just realized I was speeding and slowed down a little bit, and you crashed into me."
Oh, so he admitted of slamming on the brakes. Well, though.
He's already justifying his move.
No, he didn't. He didn't admit to slamming on his brakes. He admitted to slowing down.
But
he didn't tell the cops that.
He
told the cops.
Yeah.
That he was just in that lane. I came up and just slammed into him for no reason. I get cited for unassured clear distance, and that beautiful car that only had 33,000 miles on it is now totaled.
Let me just again figure this one out. Did he drove around you from the right lane and slid in front of you, and did this have anything to do with you blowing through the left turn arrow?
I'm assuming he was pissed off about it, but he never said that to me. And it's a good thing he didn't, because I was ready to jerk him out of that car and just beat his ass right there on that road.
Did the cops say anything about the arrow, and did he say anything to the cops about the arrow?
No, he never said anything. All he told the cops was he was proceeding down this four-lane road, and I came up and just slammed into him for no reason.
All right, Paul.
Now, there's no intersection. There's no railroad tracks. Nothing.
Paul, all right, here's what I'm going to say. The same thing I would say to my son if he was beat up by a little African-American boy, which is you cannot turn your back on this community. You must keep turning left through arrows. Don't let this one incident, don't let the one near fatal incident
stop you.
It'd be unfair to judge all the other arrows and other intersections by the actions of one bad apple.
That's right.
Do you see what I'm saying, Paul?
I understand, and I'm not going to stop doing that.
Good.
But I'm assuming this is what happens when you get some idiot who just thinks that what I did was wrong, and to justify what you did, I'm going to show you.
You're a hero, Paul, from Ohio. I advocate everyone drive those arrows. I still can't figure out what's in it for the guy. I've gotten the person that's honked at me. You're a madman. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, puss, there are no cars. There's zero cars. So I'm just getting on. I'm getting on with my goddamn life. That's what I'm doing. It's Sunday, and the arrow's red, and there's no cars coming. So I'm driving.
I'm not 100% confident that one thing is involved with the other. You going through the left arrow doesn't necessarily mean that he was mad and he pulled this move. That's a very common insurance move.
Yes.
And the guy,
because
otherwise, why wouldn't he just be like, he ran an arrow and slammed into me? He would have come up with everything. No, he could have just pulled his
common
move.
Common insurance move, stop short. It's always the fault of the person behind you, and what a way to do it than when you're turning left.
I forgot what that move is called, but when you get your insurance packet, there's a
diagram. It's called the uninsured Mexican. I'm sorry the show has taken a turn for the racial. Todd Deacon and Paul Schmucker, Everyday Driver is the name of the show. Did you find out anything about this car?
Yes. So it's called the ATS 2500 GT. ATS Automobili Turismo eSport. It's an Italy.
So sexy.
Designed by Franco Scaglione.
Scaglione.
Oh, I love that guy.
And then engineered by Carlo Chidi and Bizzarini. Giotto Bizzarini.
All right.
Bizzarini. So,
Only
12 produced.
Only 12.
63 to 65.
God, and you'll never see him at auction. You'll never see him anywhere.
Say, but
I gotta believe those things are $10 million plus.
I looked up. RM Sotheby's had one in 2009 in London and sold for €308,000, which is about $363.
That's less than I would think of.
But it's still a kajillion times more now. That was coming on 10 years ago.
That is pretty.
That thing's
pretty
cool looking.
Gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
So European. All right.
Now I'm a little disappointed you brought it up now.
Engine. What's the engine? I think I knew the Pizzarini was in there somewhere. I think it's a V8. All right. I'll tell you about us. Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette over there. Lots of specials, live podcasts, and movies, and all that stuff everywhere. Merch and everything else. else, just go to AdamCarolla.com, or you check out our website, carcastshow.com. And for Todd and Paul, you check out Everyday Driver, the podcast, Tuesdays and Fridays and Podcast One. And then you check out Velocity, January 6th, and watch season. It's a, it's a 2.5 liter. I got that for the 2500 V8, 220 horsepower. I love that. And it's got downdraft like whoever's on there.
It's gorgeous.
Probably aluminum
2.5 liter V8.
I love that.
220 horsepower. That's great. Amazing.
That's solid.
It's a 90 degree V8.
From 1963. Okay. It's like almost making 100 a liter.
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool.
So until next time, Adam for Todd and Paul and Matt saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.